Welcome back, everybody. All right, well, good afternoon. I'm Attorney General Josh Call. I'm joined here by Michelle Vasquez with Planned Parenthood. And as you all are aware, the Wisconsin State Supreme Court just heard arguments in Call v. Urmansky, the case that we filed shortly after Roe v. Wade was overturned that challenges the enforceability of a law that originally was enacted in Wisconsin in 1849. That many people contended was a broad ban on abortions in the state. Now, we wanted to come here to say a few words and answer any questions that you have following argument today. First, following the overturning of Roe, as I mentioned, Wisconsin families faced substantial uncertainty, and women in Wisconsin faced danger to their health and even to their lives. That's why Governor Evers and I stood up and filed suit shortly after Roe was overturned, to clarify that this law that goes back to before the Civil War doesn't apply in cases involving consensual abortions. In December of 2023, a state circuit court judge ruled that the law does not apply in consensual abortion cases, and that was a win for freedom, for equality, and for women's health. Now, the district attorney who appealed that decision, DA Urmansky, joined us, actually, in seeking review of this case in the state Supreme Court, ultimately leading to today's argument. I want to thank the attorneys who have worked so hard on this case for your outstanding work. And I want to reassure the people of the state of Wisconsin that at the Department of Justice, we are going to continue fighting for your freedom, including your freedom to make your own reproductive health care decisions without government interference. So as I mentioned, Michelle Vasquez and I are here. I'm happy to answer any questions that you have. Well, we've felt confident about our arguments throughout this process. I said that when we initially filed the lawsuit, and we remain confident. We've got strong statutory arguments, both based on the Black decision that was discussed today at argument, as well as our implied repeal argument. But you never know what's going to happen with a court decision until you get the ruling. So we're going to await the outcome from the court.
If the state Supreme Court rules that the 19th century Wisconsin law does not actually prohibit consensual abortion, what does that mean for Planned Parenthood's separate lawsuit, which is arguing that an abortion ban under that law violates the state constitution?
Thanks for that question. So if I'm understanding your question correctly, I just want to make sure, if the state Supreme Court in Call versus Urmansky ultimately rules that Wisconsin statute 940.04 does in fact apply to consensual medical abortions, the Planned Parenthood Wisconsin case is still alive, right? 940.04 is the statute being challenged in Planned Parenthood Wisconsin's case, and the arguments in that case really go to the Constitution, the state Constitution. So today's arguments were really more constrained to a statutory construction argument, whereas the Planned Parenthood case gets to whether or not an abortion ban under 940.04 or any other similar statute could withstand Wisconsin's constitutional protections.
If the state Supreme Court finds that the law in question does not actually prohibit abortions done with a pregnant woman's consent, is Planned Parenthood's lawsuit still alive?
I think it will really just depend on the timing of that decision. So if the court essentially upholds, right, the circuit court's decision, your question is, would the state Supreme Court still review with Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin's lawsuit? And I think really it will just depend on that court's decision and the timing of when that comes out, and what they say about its sort of applicability to the pending lawsuit under Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin versus Urmansky, which is a case they did accept this term. There's no briefing schedule or argument schedule, but I anticipate that will be coming out, you know, sometime soonish, because we're, you know, in the midst of their term.
Josh, throughout the arguments, Justice Kurofsky made a lot of comments about the damage done to women, children that were raped, cases of incest, et cetera. But do those arguments merit coming into the implied repeal and the legal technicalities that are at the heart of this case? Are those actually relevant when you're talking about the legal issue?
Yeah, there are a few things I would say. So first of all, In any case, the factual context in which a case is being argued is relevant, because one of the things we think about is how legislatures may have interpreted statutes and what they thought things to mean. What we had in Wisconsin was about a 15-month period when women were denied access to reproductive health care in this state because of concern that prosecutions would result. That had a lot of impacts on the lives of Wisconsinites. In some cases where there were planned pregnancies, people were terrified about what might happen if there was a complication that they weren't expecting. And we also know that people had to have medical care delayed in certain cases because that law was in place. Fortunately, we appear to have avoided the worst possible outcomes in Wisconsin, but there has been reporting recently on some cases in Texas, for example, where delayed care led to women losing their lives because of restrictive abortion bans that were in place. So when you look at what the statutes say and the context in which they were passed, we know that that Wisconsin law that was passed, a similar provision was interpreted in Black, the Black decision, as not applying to abortions. We've argued that that same logic applies here, and that also there was implied repeal. And in assessing the intent of the legislature in passing other statutes, that context is relevant. Now, ultimately, this is a question of what the statute means, and I think that there are clear statutory grounds, regardless of the context here, for both finding that the Black decision applies here and also that the statute was impliedly repealed. But it doesn't mean that those circumstances are irrelevant either.
Could you respond a little bit to Justice Hagedorn's argument that those new statutes existed just in the context of Roe and Casey, and
First, I won't re-argue the case here. I think that our team did an excellent job with that, as did the other attorneys in the argument. But look, the doctrines that we have in place, there's no caveat to what was the U.S. Supreme Court ruling at the time. There's a clear doctrine for when there's implied repeal. We've argued that this meets it. And if you look, there's comprehensive regulation of lawful abortion in Wisconsin. And there are statutes that set out what can't be done, and it's implied, therefore, what can lawfully be done in Wisconsin. And you can't simultaneously have that with this broad abortion ban. That's what the case law says, and there's no carve-out for there was a U.S. Supreme Court decision. Now, the fact that there was a right in place for about 50 years in Wisconsin does speak to whether all of a sudden we're supposed to go back to a draconian ban, but that's a different issue in the case.
I mean, absolutely, expansion of abortion access has been something that Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin has been fighting for a very long time. This case helped restore, or did restore, abortion access in this state post-Roe, and was absolutely crucial to ending that 15-month-long time period where people in this state couldn't get the health care that they needed. Our case in Planned Parenthood versus Ermansky seeks to really protect that that right, and then depending on how the court might decide that case, we examine other statutes. Wisconsin has a very, very restrictive statutory scheme that makes it really challenging to provide access across the state. Things like a telemedicine ban, a two-visit requirement, same physician requirement, physician only, those are just a few of the regulations that make expansion extraordinarily challenging, but it's something that, as an organization, we're absolutely committed to.
Yeah, and I'll just add, we just had a state legislative election, and there are now relatively narrow majorities for Republicans in the state legislature. One topic that I hope to see the legislature take up is some of these laws that pertain to abortion access in Wisconsin. I think it is very clear that Wisconsinites have overwhelmingly support having safe access to abortion in the state. It's been true, and it's been indicated by election results that we've had, by exit polls that we've seen, by other polls. So, for those legislators in these districts that are very moderate, where those districts could go either way, I think we ought to ask those folks, do they support some common sense changes that will protect access to abortion care in Wisconsin?
Appeal to have oral arguments finally today after a very lengthy legal process, almost nearly 2 years, you filed
actually examined at the national level now with President-elect or President Trump?
Yeah, well, first of all, the legal process is not fast. I think we can all agree on that. So we knew that the process would take time. We tried to make that clear when this case was originally filed, and our prediction has held up. It has taken some time. But obviously making sure we get this right is critical. Nobody wanted to see, nobody on our team at least, or at Planned Parenthood wanted to see access denied for 15 months, but ultimately ensuring that we get sound decisions that protect access for the long term is critical, so it's been good to see that in place. We've fortunately, with the circuit court ruling, had access restored in the state, and we're gonna keep working to make sure it's restored, hopefully through the Supreme Court decision. And then ultimately, this is gonna be an issue for the legislature, because as we all know, court decisions can shift. We saw that with Roe followed by Dobbs. The surest way of protecting access is for the new legislature that's gonna be coming into session to pass laws that protect access to safe and legal abortion in Wisconsin.
But do you think lawmakers are still incentive to do anything when Donald Trump won Wisconsin? He's the one to support a national abortion ban. So are they be afraid of a repercussion when Trump won?
Well, if you look at the state results, first of all, Democrats picked up, I believe it's 4 seats in the state Senate and 10 in the assembly. And it's a very closely divided legislature, and I think Wisconsinites are clear about where they stand on these issues. And I think to respect the will of the voters, you know, Donald Trump repeatedly said that this is a state's issue now. And so it is up to our state legislators to take action on these issues.
If down the road the Wisconsin Supreme Court does find abortion health care to be a constitutional right, would that keep it into a Roe framework of time periods and laws and regulations, or would all of that be subject to examination as well?
I can say generally, and I'll let Planned Parenthood should probably weigh in on this too, but ultimately, that's going to be a determination that the court will make if it weighs in on the constitutionality. The framework in Wisconsin law that we have in place for protection of bodily autonomy is a different framework than the Roe framework, and we've laid out our arguments for what that should be, and we're happy to get you our briefing on that. But I know that Planned Parenthood has thoughts on that as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think that if the court ultimately finds that there's a state constitutional protection to bodily autonomy, which of course then includes the right to choose whether or not to continue a pregnancy, certainly for its part, Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin would be examining all of the restrictions I mentioned, as well as potentially restrictions related to gestational age. However, that's not the case before the court right now. The case before the court is, does Wisconsin's constitution protect the right to bodily autonomy? Those questions, I think, are for subsequent cases, potentially, or as Attorney General Call just said, the state legislature. I don't think the court needs to reach a question of gestational age in the case before it right now, because Wisconsin does have a pretty comprehensive and robust statutory scheme related to when abortions can be performed and up to what time in gestation.
Great. Well, that's really ultimately a question that we'll wait and see how things play out to see what the answer might be. We want to have certainty in the law and consistency in the law. There's a doctrine, stare decisis, that is meant to uphold that basic approach. But I think anybody can look at what has happened with court decisions and see that there were particular results that then were overruled, and Roe to Dobbs is one of many examples of that. I'm always reluctant to predict how any court might rule, because courts surprise us sometimes. But there's no question that that courts' decisions can change over time as their membership changes.
There are some people that hope that the court ruling on this will kind of settle abortion, take it off the table as a political hot button, especially in electoral terms. But what your last answer says is that this issue is not going away in terms of campaigns and the future legislature or makeup of the court changing whatever may come here.
Well, whatever happens in this case, the issue, I don't think, is going to be permanently resolved in Wisconsin. Certainly this will provide important clarity, and I think will at least for a time period address at least what current Wisconsin law says. But, you know, just the last legislative session, there was a 14-week ban that was introduced, and that was the more moderate proposal within the Republican caucus. So I think that there is going to remain political debate about this issue. There certainly could be legal challenges. That being said, I don't want to understate the importance of this. I mean, we had 15 months with no access in Wisconsin. Because of the circuit court's decision, we were able to return to basic access. That's a huge shift, but that doesn't mean that there aren't still other issues at play. Anything you want to add to that?
I think the only thing I would add is just a little bit of reassurance for patients across the state of Wisconsin. When cases like this and abortion generally is in the news, it can create some confusion and concern about what is currently legal. Abortion is legal right now in Wisconsin. PPWI resumed care last September following the Dane County Circuit Court's ruling, and then in Sheboygan in December following the final ruling. So I just really want to reiterate that Planned Parenthood's doors are open and for all sexual reproductive health care needs, but also for abortion access, unless and until this court says otherwise.
If you call, earlier you said you hope the state legislature implements some common sense changes to post-Roe regulations on abortion that are in effect in Wisconsin. What would you consider common sense changes? What are some revisions that you would support in law when it comes to abortion in Wisconsin?
Yeah, well, there's a whole statutory scheme in place, and I think taking a look at that is important, and frankly, learning some of the lessons from developments that have happened both medically as well as in, with the 15 months of access being denied, and learning from them. So one thing I certainly would like to see is a change to the underlying statutory structure to make clear that access to safe and legal abortion is protected for a period of pregnancy. And then I also think making sure that the laws that are in place are not unnecessarily burdening the ability of women to obtain reproductive health care is key as well. You know, those are discussions that need to happen with input from medical experts and others who have expertise in these areas. But this is an area that we know is impacting the lives of Wisconsinites. And I think that, you know, because of the significance of this issue, our legislature owes it to Wisconsin voters to address it and to continue working to make progress. Right now, our focus is on restoring the basic access in Wisconsin, which again was lost. That's going to be a topic where there will be debate, I think, over time. But fundamentally, we want to make sure that this is a decision that is made by women in consultation with the people who they think they should be consulting with, whether it's their doctor or their spiritual advisor or priest, their spouse, whoever it is. These decisions should be made by the women who are making them, not by the government. And the other thing is, there are so many different types of circumstances that can arise that may lead us to different outcomes in different cases. So those are, I think, important discussions to have, but right now our focus is on addressing the basic issue and ensuring that access is protected.
Do you think 20 weeks of pregnancy is a reasonable period when it comes to restricting abortion? Is that a common sense time frame?
I don't think that we can have simple bright line rules when it comes to these issues. I think we've got to make sure that we are not unduly burdening people's ability to access reproductive health care. Again, there are going to be a lot of circumstances that arise. Fundamentally, I think the approach we should have is one that's based on protecting the ability of women to make these reproductive health care decisions without the government interfering with their ability to do so. All right. Thank you all for being here. We appreciate it.
Thank you.